Amen. Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. We're excited on what's going to happen tonight because we know you're in charge, Lord. And Father, I just praise you for all the work you're doing in us, getting us ready, as David talked about on the Bible study yesterday. Lord, we want them, the beast put on the barbecue grill. And if he don't die, just go ahead and shoot him. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Lord, for everything that you're doing with us. And I praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight. I ask, Lord, that you be with Justin tonight as he shares the things that you've laid on his heart. And I just thank you for bringing us into that realm of your good graces. And Lord, let us understand who we are in Christ. You said in Ephesians chapter 3, that you would grant you, that Paul said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you, that's us, be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the good fullness of God. And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Lord, when we understand where we are in Christ, that you're the one that's in us, Lord, the power that brought Jesus out of hell and placed him at your right hand, Lord, that's the most power that's ever been displayed in this world. To bring Jesus out of hell, and all them demons and the devil were trying to hold him back, and it was just a spoken word that brought him out of there without a problem at all. That's the same power you said in Ephesians 6 that we have with us. And I praise you, Father, that we understand that we walk in humble power, that the enemy shakes wherever we go. And I praise you, Father, that you're putting that in your saints to understand that we walk and talk like Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, let tonight be a memorable night for all of us. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for this open heaven you've given to us too, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Okay. Is anybody got a prayer request or a testimony? Oh, it's looking good tonight. Justin, we're getting a full crowd here. Praise God. Yeah, Justin, go ahead.
I just wanted some prayer. One for tonight, and two, it's Lacey and I are kind of going through a decision that's pretty big for us. We've been placed in a kind of an opportunity to sell our home and potentially pay off another home, and just to get out of debt. And it's a downsize, it is a sacrifice, and we've just really been kind of just praying for guidance and the decision making and what's best for the family. And I just want to bring that forward just because it's just been on our hearts, and I'd like, just some prayer for that. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Father, we just lift up Megan and his wife, and we thank you, Father, that your direction is sure. And we just praise you for it, Father. We thank you that you're going to give them positive answers to their questions, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, I know that you don't want to send debt. If that's the way you want him to go, open up all the doors and let it be so in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord. Amen and amen. But Father, if that's not what you want him to do, close the doors in Jesus' name. All right, go ahead, Alana or Theo.
Hi, everyone. Hey, just wanted to share a prayer request for a guy named Ricky. We have this forum on the internet where we discuss certain topics, cars, guns, you name it. And he reached out talking about how that he can't get rid of this demon depression and anxiety and self-harm thoughts, and he's been fighting it forever, and he's just reaching out, you know, and it's the internet, right? I don't even know who this Ricky guy is, but I did pray for him, and I sent him a prayer in the messaging, and I just want you all to agree with me that the Lord's going to do a mighty work in him, and the Lord knows his life, his heart, and where he's coming from. And I just believe that the Lord put me back on this forum just within the last couple of days. I haven't been on it in years. And this guy shows up with this prayer request. You know, he wasn't asking for prayer, but that's how I treated it. And so if you all just could believe with me that this guy is going to be in the kingdom, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Phil, and we just believe, Lord, that you're going to deliver this young man. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirits of depression, suicide, all tormenting spirits, leave him now in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your cleansing power working through him right now in Jesus' name. And that the next time Phil talks to him, he's going to be completely free, and want to know how that happened. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for the work that you're doing in him. Grant repentance to him, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And let it be known to the world that you free people. It makes no difference what you're doing. And we thank you for it, Father. You said, when your hands and your mouth and your feet, Lord. Well, we're using our mouth, man. We asking, we seeking, and we're knocking for this young man. And we thank you, Father, for bringing him in completely whole. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to join that. Father, would just ask that you would open up Rick's eyes to that if he has any place of unforgiveness in his heart or anger or bitterness against anyone that he that has offended him, Lord, that you give him grace to think it over, to forgive that person, to let it go, and to be released. We thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you for the cleansing that is coming into his life and the new awareness that you're bringing into him, Lord. Just lead him, if he's not a Christian, lead him by your Holy Spirit into the truth of the gospel, and that he might know who you are and reject this life and accept you and turn and walk in your ways and in your life. We thank you for him, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing in his life. We come in agreement with each other. We bind those forces of suicide and of self-rejection and of fear. We bind them right now in the name of Jesus, and we neutralize them, and we put forth a spirit of hope and encouragement and life and seeking you in his life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, I shared a few weeks ago on here, I think, about Brittany, the young woman who was pregnant with twins, and they were delivered when she was got put on the ventilator. She went to the hospital with COVID and got really bad. She's put in the ventilator. They did a C-section while she was on that. And a couple weeks ago, got a report. I did share here, but I didn't tell you all of you that that she was back to her room out of ICU, and she still had a feeding tube down her throat. She had to learn to walk and talk, and so there were things that were still working with her, and something else about her, something else they did physically. So, you know, I thought it was going to be a little while still, and so I hear today that she's getting out Monday. She's getting out Monday already, so, and she hasn't seen her twin babies yet. So she really misses them and her husband, and Noah is her son. People have asked me, hers or just the husband's? I wasn't sure, but it's her baby, her son too. So, but I just know that God's going to get a great testimony out of this. So praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing Whitney out, Brittany, mm-hmm. through all of this, Lord, and completely healed and whole, so she can take care of them twins and Noah. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And I have one more. We've been praying for Victory for 4.5 years now. She's been doing this court stuff. And I know that God's allowed this for her. She's come a long way. I'm just really blessed. And suddenly God's doing some things I'm seeing in her. And he's allowed things to happen, to rise up, cause her to see the difference and how she should react. But anyway, she got a call today. She went to court yesterday and was real fast. She had to wind up taking the kids because she left her diaper bag at home, which is going to take her to my other daughter's, and she didn't have time to go back for it and be at court on time. So she went and took the kids, and the public defender walked up to her and said, "You're going to go first." So she did, and she prayed it'd be really quick, and I had prayed that with her before she went, and it was very fast. She was out of there, just got told about the jury trial day is going to be the 22nd. And so then she calls me today, and she said, "We keep praying for this for a dismissal. We thought, well, it's going to go to jury trial." Well, then she said that the public defender called her today and told her they do not have the phone call, that the recording of the witness that called in. They do have the video that this witness took of Victory. She thought she was mistreating her child so badly, which the public defender said there's nothing really here. But anyway, they can't find that. So she said, "I'm going to call the judge and I'm going to ask for dismissal." So she said, "I'll call you tomorrow." So Victory was just so excited and just so the way she prays and thanking the Lord. And lately she's just, it's been really good. It's been really good with her. And I've been praying so hard that, because she's been talking about moving down here. It's been kind of off and on. And it's like things that lately God's raised up for me to share with her. Not a whole lot she's saying back, but I know that she's hearing it and taking it in. And she did tell me, "You're so different since you've been down there, Mom," in a good way. I can tell you've just really changed so much. And I'm glad that you and Dad went down there. So she's talking still about moving down here. I've been praying for the right timing of the Lord's. And I'm just feeling like it, not that it's going to be next week or in 2 or 3 weeks even, but, you know, I think the next few short months, something like that's going to happen. So Lord willing, I'm, you know, thinking that. So we're praying that. So, but the thing that was hanging it up too was this court thing, because they wouldn't allow her to transfer if she moved down here like she wanted to before. So anyway, so praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Victory, Lord, and you're working in her heart, God. And I just I just thank you, and I pray that you comfort her heart, and thank you that for her forgiveness she's got in her heart and doesn't want to hold on to offense, Lord, against her sister. And I just thank you, Lord, what's going on in her heart, that it's you, Jesus. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I know that you've allowed this trial for her to stay in this trial. She's not understood why, but I pray you help her to understand why, Lord, that you've used it, Lord, to form her. And just to wait upon you and let you do your work in her, Lord. And I thank you for your timing of her coming down here, Lord. And we stand with her and are thanking you, Father, for that phone call for this dismissal tomorrow in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that'd be great.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Y'all just wish you could sing like me. All right, go ahead, Sam.
Glory.
I've just got a prayer request, and you can come in agreement with me. Our car is coming up with some issues, which are taken care of by the Lord. And we just want agreement that our Lord has restored it the way it should be, and that there'd be no further issues at all, because he knows we need it. And as we reside in the secret place of the Most High, nothing can come and affect it or destroy it, and no moth or rust will destroy it. And as it's stored in heaven, because we reside in heaven, it's eternally lasting. So we're just trusting the Lord, and that our car is just going to keep going the way it should be, the way it's God's intended and given us it. So that's all we just want agreement with, because
okay, all right, Lord.
Yeah,
we just spiritually speaking, put our hands on that car. We anoint that car, and we ask it. We thank you, Lord, that that car is restored as new, and they will drive that car without any problems from this point on until they get rid of it. And Father, we thank you for that. Everything that the devil has tried to do to that car be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that not even tires are going to be needed for it. And we thank you, Father, that that car is going to be a miracle car for them to testify about. And we praise you for it, Father. I believe it. I believe that car is going to go run around and have a light around it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Man, you can get that thing every morning. It's going to work for you. Glory to God. All right, Missy.
We're having some pretty hard rain now, and I know there's going to be some areas of high winds and stuff like that, and I just feel to pray for the protection over God's people, his elect. So, Father, I just command these winds to diminish. I forbid any damage or harm to any property or your elect, and we just ask you to protect them and watch over them. Send forth your angels. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank Lord, you. we thank you for this. Go ahead, Missy. Thought you was through.
I was, but I'm sorry I interrupted you. I'm just, the lights just flickered. So from the rain. So I'm amen. Sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No power loss in Jesus' name. That power is not going out. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Can I talk now? I'm just asking. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that you provide a safe zone right there around Missy and Merle, that nothing is going to happen in that region to knock the lights out, knock the water, knock nothing out in Jesus' name. No phone, no nothing, no hail, nothing. in Jesus' name. And we thank you for peace. Be still up there in the tundra. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It is done. It went north of us, Missy, as far as the severe weather. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Vanita.
Hi, everyone. I was just going to say that I was telling my mom and dad about my, you know, wanting to come down to Tennessee in March for the pot blessing. And I was telling them about that. And my mom, she loves to go places. And my dad's always a nah, maybe next time kind of guy. So we were talking and he's like, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. If you want me to go, I'll go. And so we were trying to make plans and my mom wants to go visit this temple that's like 2 hours away from where you guys are. And so we were looking at the map and it was like straight down 9.5 hours. They could drop me off. Then they could make a day trip to the temple and we could all pray while they're there. And then they could come back and we'd spend the night and, you know, they might interact with some of you guys and everything. That'd be so cool. It was all kind of, it all sounded really good. And then yesterday my dad was having some kind of numbness in his left arm and some eyesight problems, and he kind of panics on those kind of things. So he went to the emergency room and they did all these tests and didn't find anything wrong with him. And he's had some fainting spells. He's going to be 82. So I think he's just a little nervous about going anywhere and if his health isn't going to be good or, you know, if he's going to be able to do it. And so, you know, to me, it's like, Dad, you know, you just, I don't know, just go. It'll be fine. If something happens, there's hospitals all over, but you're not going to need that. You just got to keep going and doing things. And so I'm just praying that things will work out. We've got a couple weeks still here and just gonna just rest in the Lord that he will work it all out for me. If I'm meant to come down there, I don't need to worry about it and think about it and plan it. It'll just all come together and praying that they'll be able to come with me and be a part of it.
Amen. I know what is first thing that hit my mind was just that's just the enemy trying to keep you from coming down here. So in the name of Jesus right now, we command her dad to be healed completely, completely. And we command that fear off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that they're going to come down and have a great time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Benita and her dad and mom in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe you. Yeah, Missy.
And Lord, that when they come, they are just going to be so impressed with the love of Jesus and everybody that they're going to want it too. And they're going to come into the kingdom quickly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I believe it. It's going to happen. It's been a long time coming. It's going to happen now.
Amen. But y'all know that Christianity is the only religion where the God himself resides in us. All the rest of these gods are gone and dead and left out, you know. All right, Debbie.
Hey, Vanita, which God is in that temple down there? No?
Oh, you know, I don't even know. It was some kind of a science temple. Just straight east of where they are, but I can't remember.
By the way, we had rice and curry this weekend.
Oh, yum.
With naan.
Yep.
All right, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. I just remembered a testimony that I haven't shared to anybody. This happened the last rain that we had. Well, first of all, let me say that when it rains here hard, like it's raining, I don't know if it's raining by you, Michael, but it is here. When it rains like this all night, my floors flood in my car. It gets in somehow through the frame. And last time it was started raining, I prayed, and I had such, I prayed with faith. I sent those angels to plug up those leaks in my car that my floor would not flood, and it did not. I mean, I have to wring out big beach towels. It was, and it did not. It got barely damp. It was just on the front and the back side, the driver's side, front and back floor just gets so wet. You can just splash it with your hand, you know. And it didn't happen that way. It was barely damp, just a little bit. So I'm praying that again tonight and believing God to keep that car from flooding. So thank you all for agreeing with me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that car is not going to flood again. You touched it already, and I thank you for that miracle you've done.
Amen.
And continue in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we know that you don't do half a job. We know that you're going to seal that car completely up, and it's not going to have one bit. Amen. Of moisture inside that car, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Debbie. Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, Isaac, go ahead. Or Mary.
Hey, it's Isaac. Hey.
Sounds just like you, too.
Mariana's voice is a little deep. I just got a quick little testimony. So when Greg was talking on his when he is giving his teaching, we were out because I can't remember why. I think we were getting groceries. We've been out all day. So anyways, I had my the phone in my pocket, my shirt pocket, and I had it on speakerphone so we could hear it because we were walking. And we walked past this fella, somebody was praying. I don't remember who it was. And they said, "Thank you, Jesus." And this guy looked over to me and he goes, "Hey, thank you, Jesus." And he looked at me and pointed and he was like, "Yeah, I'm a believer." And I said, "All right, me too." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I just kind of waved at him and went on. And I went into the hotel room and I had a sovereign God. And I said, "Man, this is my chance." So I ran downstairs and I didn't see him. I was like, he left. And then I seen him in his car. And I said, "I'm going to be that guy." So I ran out there and I said, "Hey, man." And I gave him the book and we started talking. I mean, this fella, kid you not, was he had a lot of good doctrine, a lot of like, he was pretty mature and some, you know, and I was like really impressed. And we just sat there and talked about it. And he just loved the title of the book, Sovereign God. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And it was just really cool, man. So I just gave him the book, you know, and I gave him my number. I said, "Hey, if you ever just want to, you know, talk and share, hey, give me a shout." So I hope the book alone produces fruit for him, because I can do a lot better job than I can. And it's just so revealing. Okay, so that's the one testimony, and thank God for that. And the second testimony is this. This is it may be a small one, but it's still glorifying God. And any way you look at it, it's still amazing. We were driving through Nevada yesterday. And I remember one time I was in Nevada and I was there for an interview at a Tesla factory. And anyways, we come around. I was driving, I seen these wild horses running next to me because there's a lot of wild horses in Nevada. And I always told Marion about it, and she always wanted to see some. And I was with the kids and we were driving yesterday. And I said a prayer. I said, "Lord, let us see some wild horses. I'd like my family to see that." Man, we come around a turn and they were there. They were right there and they were in the road. And I was like, "Man, there they are." And they're just, it was awesome. And it's just the smallest things, no matter how trivial it may seem, you know, God knows how to answer prayers. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, he answers all our prayers. All right. All right, Matt, good to see you, brother. Glad to have you back on again. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, good to be on. I guess, you know, I would like prayer for my wife and I. We got confirmation from the Lord a few months ago that we would be moving to Tennessee in March. And as it's approaching, the Lord, I believe, has allowed a test to come before us. And, you know, I just really am seeking the Lord to have wisdom and understanding to pass this test. And, you know, that we will have a smooth transition, you know. But yeah, that's pretty much it at the moment.
Okay. All right, Lord, we lift up Matt and his wife, and we thank you, Father, that it is a trial. Everybody gets in a trial. This is trial time. And Father, we just thank you that you're going to give that overcoming power and the wisdom and discernment to come through this trial with flying colors, Lord, and we thank you for it, because we know that they're going to be led by your Spirit. And we thank you, Father, for bringing them over here to this family of ours, and letting them be a part of it. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for Matt and his wife, that you're going to give them the overcoming power when these trials come up, and the wisdom. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Somebody else want to pray for Matt? Go ahead, Carol.
I wasn't going to pray for that, but I will, since I fell right in at that time. Thank you, Father, that you are with all of us when we go through our trials. I thank you, Lord, that you give peace to your children and that you release your heavenly host around them and encamp them and just help them, teleport them, that they would have moved and not even realize they have just been lifted up and plant it in the place that you want them to be. I just see this peace on this transition for them, and I thank you so much, Heavenly Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Julie, did also, you want to pray for them? I'll get right back to you, Carl.
Yeah, I think Julie, absolutely.
Pray for them too.
Yeah, I do. The only thing that was coming to me, Matt, when I was hearing you speak and about your trial, is just you and your wife hold on to the word. Keep confessing Amen. The word. And keep yourself humble before the Father, humble before his word, and just let him guide you. He loves you. Amen. That's Thank all you. I have.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right, Amen. Carol, back to you.
And back to Matt about something else that I think it's Isaiah 41 or 43, where the Lord says, you know, when we go through the waters, we won't drown. And when he takes us through the fire, we won't burn. So I'm just really seeing that accompanying you guys in this transition. Having said that, Lord, I want to lift up again what's happening in Canada. It just really seems like a forerunner of what you want to be doing throughout the whole world. I'm praying, Father, for a continued protection around the movement, the right to demonstrate peacefully, the right to stand up, freedom of speech to say no, the right to say no to an injection in our bodies, the right to say we want to be heard about this to the federal government. Father, I pray, I don't even know how to pray for Trudeau at this moment, but I release him to you. My prayer, my heart is that you would lift up all the members of parliament and all of the constituents to step up and to speak and write against this illegal measurement to do a military act against peaceful demonstration of the people asking for a right to say no, this is just not okay. And I ask that you help people to pick up their phone, their emails, their letters, however to write in and to say no, to help the other members of parliament to stand against this, because they're moving pretty aggressive in that direction. I pray that all the fences that were put around the Freedom Convoy today, Lord, that it would be you fencing them in to protect them. I pray that all the people that put those fences around, Lord, that you would protect the policemen. I really do believe they're doing what they're asked to do, but that somewhere in there, you're covering them and helping them. Maybe that they would turn around and they would be the fence around the convoy. Maybe the people in Parliament would turn around and they would all turn and they would face Trudeau, and that there would be a conviction of this, of his heart, Father, that you would help him back down from this tyrannical move that he is doing. And I pray, Lord, for any people you would be drawing to go this weekend, because the members that are organizing this whole convoy peaceful demonstration are still inviting people to come. So it is your will. We pray for your will to be done. And your will, of course, is to protect your children and your kingdom to come and your will to be done in all of this. I pray this in your son, Jesus, your son's name, the name above all names. And I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon all of them across the world. I saw one headed for Jerusalem. Amen. Thank you, Father, for protecting all of them that want freedom from these tyrannical leaders. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anyone else? Getting close, Geneva.
I know it. Monday's the due date, but they said I could go over by a few days since I'm a first-time mom, but just waiting patiently.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Lord, we're just thinking that it's going to be Monday. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a prayer or testimony? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my extreme pleasure to introduce to you one of the greatest theologians of our time. Justin, you come forward, give your message. He's got a great message, I'm sure. Thank you, Father, for blessing Justin in this time of sharing your word with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for speaking through me, Father, and bringing your truth forward and just blessing the congregation. And I trust in you and believe in you, in Jesus' name.
Got it.
And in that hour, and in that hour, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. And in that hour, the disciples unto Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called to him a little child and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except you turn and become a little child, ye shall no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I wanted to talk about childlike faith, because if you set a child on your lap, everything is truth to them. And so how will they know to see a lie unless they know the truth? And so I'm going to just read. And Mike, if I can email all these verses to you, I'm probably not going to just say them. I'm just going to try to read them as if I'm talking.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me. For thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world that he might put to shame the things that are strong. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but man spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. When, therefore, the people saw the signs which he did, they said, This is a truth, the prophet that cometh into the world. Jesus, therefore, perceived that they were about to come and take him and force him to make him king, withdrew again into the mountain himself alone. But the witness which I have is greater than John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, beareth witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and our life. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that believed him, If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. He that is of God heareth the words of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my words, he shall never see death. And he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. For I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me, he hath given me a commandment that I should say and what I should say. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. And the things therefore which I speak, even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak. Jesus said unto him, he that is batheth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Ye heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come unto you. If ye loved me, ye would have rejoiced, because I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.
a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Now, I took us down that journey in the sense of I didn't want to speak of myself, so I wanted to use a word to kind of travel down the truth, because just like a childlike faith, like being fed the truth, you'll know the truth. And I've kind of told people around me that if you were to try, and not even to use the scripture in the sense, but tell the truth, like tell the truth in all that you do. And I know that sounds very simple, but really think about it and really pay attention and tell the truth in all that you do, right? And because I think sometimes, especially, we almost try to speak to accommodate the situation. And I think if we really sit back and pay attention to what we say, I don't think that we would say very much. Because if you think about when Jesus was asked things, if he didn't feel like he needed to say something, he didn't say it. But what he did say was the truth. And so now I'm going to read some things that I just wrote down. So adopt responsibility, human vulnerability, and social judgment. It isn't merely your fate to depend on whether or not you get your act together and to what degree you decide that you're going to live out your own genuine being. It isn't only your fate. It's the fate of everyone that is in your network. The thing you do are like dropping a stone in a pond. The ripples move outwards. They affect things in ways that you can't fully comprehend. And it means that the things that you do and the things that you don't do are far more important than you think. Everything matters. Tell the truth. Plan a life that you'd like to have, and do that partly by having a conversation with yourself about, as if you don't really know who you are, because you know what you're like. You do know what you're like. You won't do what you're told. You won't do what you tell yourself to do. You must have noticed that now, just as Paul writes. You're a bad employee and a worse boss. You don't know what you want to do. And then when you tell yourself what to do, you don't do it anyway. You are not your own servant. You're someone that you have to negotiate with. That's hard for people because they don't like themselves very much. Cracking the whip and then procrastinating. Cracking the whip and then procrastinating. What to do? This is part of humility, is look around you within your influence and fix the things that announce themselves as in need of repair. Imagine that you are taking care of yourself like someone you actually cared for. What would be good for you? Aim at it. If you actually want something, then ask for it. Reorient your life in every possible way to make the possibilities that will occur as certain as possible. That's a sacrificial idea. Maybe you can have what you need, and all you have to do is ask. But asking in a way that you want to know the answer. And so I wanted to finish with even so ye also, when ye shall have done all the things that are commanded to you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's all I have, Mike.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it, man. What's your scriptures? Did you say you was going to email me those scriptures?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good. I'll get them out to everybody. All right. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you know, in particular, I like that last scripture because I remember once when I was thinking about that, and it just dawned on me right now that your unprofitable servants is sort of like leaves you hanging there and going, well, what does this really mean? You know, and then I was going, you know, like all the stuff we don't do, we don't profit from it. And it just dawned on me right now. It's all glory to the Lord anyway. The Lord gets all the glory for all what you do because that's the Lord working through you. So praise and glory to God. Thanks for that, because it's nice when the Lord reveals you something, like just, you know, when you're thinking about a verse like that and you don't know what it means really. And he just gave me the answer right now. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, Eric. I don't have a question. I just want to say thanks, Justin, for sharing that, buddy. You know, I appreciate you know, you being a humble servant, man. And I, you know, I'm just really excited about what God's doing in you guys' life. And thanks, Ben, for really sharing. You know, it's really awesome. It really is. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Some very good scriptures he gave. That's awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Thank you, Justin. That was good. I liked what you said. And somebody put it in the chat, too, about what you said, that if we were to only ever speak the truth, we wouldn't say all that much. That's gold. And when you said that, it was like, yeah, you know, Jesus didn't say a whole lot, except when he was teaching and preaching. And he was always very thoughtful about everything he said. And the script, well, I don't remember exactly where it is. I think it's in the Old Testament, but it's like, you know, let your words be few, you know, for God is above and we are here on earth. So, you know, when you talk and when you pray, it's like, let your words be few. And we do talk too much. I don't know why that is, but we do have a tendency to speak too much. And if we were only always just to speak as Jesus would speak, you know, would we be going on at the mouth like we do sometimes? So that was some thought-provoking things you shared. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Geneva.
Yeah, I was going to agree with Julie, too. It's really hard not to get caught up talking too much. So I agree with that. But I also like what Justin said in the very beginning about childlike faith, where he said, if I'm probably phrasing this wrong, if you don't know what a lie is, and you wouldn't know what the truth is, or something of that sort. Anyways, that just kind of, I was like, that was a really good point. So thank you, Justin.
Amen. Something to ponder. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I've got something. It's a confirmation to me. My name's William. Many blessings to you. Lately, I've seen this last week, you know, because I spend a lot of time alone, brother, and blessing. But the Lord reminded me, you know, through this learning to rely on him more and more. He's like breaking all these ties and reliances I had on people, places, and things that I was attached to by fear. So whenever someone would go or something would change, I had this gnat of fear in me all the time. So therefore I couldn't love, I couldn't do these things or walk in these ways because it was out of fear. And what he's been showing me lately, remember when you were young, son, there was a short period, because he knew, just like he's in, the brother under the fig tree. He knew, so he's showing me, when you were young, remember when you were carefree and you didn't fear and you didn't carefree when you were young? And I was like, yeah, Lord. And he's like, that is where I want you to be. That is where I want you to stay, because that is the childlike faith. And that is the freedom. Because I wasn't worried about what I was going to eat. I wasn't worried about what I was going to drink. I wasn't worried that I was going to be rejected. I wasn't worried whether I had to measure up. I wasn't worried about how good I was or wasn't. I wasn't worried about how intelligent I was or where I lacked. He's awesome, brother. Thank you. And I just ultimately want to thank the Father tonight. He's beyond. Man, he's awesome, brother. Blessings to you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, William. Go ahead, Pat.
Justin, I thank you for that. I'm with Geneva, as I'm thinking about that scripture, that first one about childlike faith. And then William brought it up just now. And it's, I know that it seems like the world's concept or the of childlike faith is that you look at children and you think of them as, I don't know how to put it, the pinnacle, we kind of equate it to them being smarter than us or have something that we don't or whatever. But I think what William was pointing out to there was that childlike faith, the essence of that is not knowledge, but it's innocency. And the lack of awareness of sinfulness, and which puts us in, puts us into a carefree or a peaceful, that lack of sinfulness or that awareness of sin puts us in that place of innocency, of ignorance and innocency, even before God. And to be able to get back to that place of innocency, especially when you've had a whole life where you have drug yourself through the mud of sin and muck through a whole lifetime of actions and reactions and wrong decisions and everything like that, that God wants to take us back to that place of innocency, which only comes through the path of forgiveness and cleanness and bringing us back into that place, being innocent in Jesus. So that kind of kicked me off into thinking about that, you know, just that whole foundation that God wants to restore in us. And then that place of innocency where faith functions so easily. And I was thinking about the words of truth, just letting truth come out of your mouth. And I was thinking back of Psalm 15, and I just wanted to read that. It kind of hit me. And that has to do with speaking truth and speaking the truth that's in your heart. And I think specifically hanging on to it and going, humbling yourself to it and going where it leads you, because it's going to take you in places that grind against your flesh. A Psalm of David: the Lord who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friends, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor, or unforgiveness. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. That little sentence right there is what the Lord used in my life that made me realize that when you hang on truth, it's going to take you in places that you have to stand up, and you have to stand on that truth, and it may result in some sort of retribution or reaction or response or something against you. But if you swear, if you stand on that truth and don't change, even when it hurts to stand there. And and it's kind of where I was being led through what you were saying there, Justin. It was pretty good. So anyway, I'm through. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Well, good night, y'all. No, we're not going to close it down. Praise God. All right, has anybody got anything that's been on their heart that they'd like to bring out?
Hallelujah.
All right, well, you go ahead, Pat.
Well, after listening to what Justin said, I hate to be the one that's going to start talking so much.
Well, just remember what he said.
But I'll talk until somebody else decides they need to. I wanted to share literally something that just hit me today, this morning, as I was thinking about it. And it was not that I want to teach about it, but it was in Joe asked me a question, sent me a question, and I was pondering that question, and which Joe, by the way, I'm going to answer that as soon as I get around to it here. I'm kind of stumbling over some other things, but as I was thinking about it, this is scripture in Genesis 1:26, and it's the scripture place where God created man. And he said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea. And I'm not going to read the rest, but basically gave man dominion and said, and God created man in his own image. And then God blessed him and said, multiply and give him all the earth, basically, and then commanded them to subdue it. And I guess I just had the vision or the thought. I know we tend to look at that verse. I always tended to look at that verse and said, well, that's when God created man. But if he created man, why didn't he just end the whole process right now? He created man, and that was the pinnacle of his creation. Why didn't he just stop the thing right there and take man and go on and go about his business? But he didn't. He gave him authority. He gave him the realm of the earth. He gave him a responsibility, told him to subdue the thing. Why is that? Why did he do that? And I just realized that God created man and I'm going back to what David's teaching on salvation or sanctification, or I think it's salvation instant and progressive. And I hope I can explain what hit me, what the Lord gave me. And that is, God created man, but that creation was not only just that instant word of creating man, but the next 6,000 years of generations of growth, of failure, of development, of struggling, of learning to overcome, of subduing kingdoms, of failures, of overcoming by faith, of facing the lions. All of these things in our history that mankind had to go through was God's hand in developing and creating man, a man in his own image, or mankind in his own image. In other words, not only the birth was the creation of man, but it was the development, the growth, the overcoming, the maturity, everything else it took to overcome life through those 60, 50, 100 generations or whatever it was before us up to this point was a place of developing a overall awareness of God in mankind that is necessary to house God, to be the temple of God, to be a man in God's image. And so it just hit me that, it hit me not only the birth, but the sanctification process, not only the instant repentance and believing in Jesus is absolutely essential, but also that wilderness experience and the overcoming that and the moving into the promised land and the functioning and working by faith through the word of God through us, etc. All of that is necessary, the necessary building blocks to bring us into the image of God or to be that creation. To be that which God created. He created the whole man. And so, I don't know, it's, I hope I expressed it or whatever, maybe it kicked some thoughts out there or whatever, but it just kind of hit me today that it wasn't just a one-time thing, it was a progressive and God isn't finished yet. He's about ready to culminate, and to bring forth that final aspect of mankind in these later days. And I'm thinking of that verse when Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place, when he was telling his disciples that he's going to leave, that there where I go, that you may be with me. And the thing that hit me about that when I read that, if you read it in the some translations say, you know, I go to prepare you a place, but or I go to prepare a mansion for you, and they think of it as a mansion and some building structure in heaven or whatever. But the Lord kind of showed me that it was, I'm going to leave you in order that I can prepare you through this process to prepare and develop in you a place that I can be with you, that you can be with me. And so anyway, just thought I would toss that out as something that the Lord is kind of showing me here lately.
Amen. What, you got a question there, Dave?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question because when we talked about the other day about when Jesus came on the scene and before his death, everybody was in Sheol, right? There was a Abraham's bosom was for the saints, and then there was the place of judgment for those that weren't saints then. So there was a separation between the two, right? So you had people in paradise or Abraham's bosom that had died, the saints had died, because there was no, Jesus hadn't been on the scene yet to bring them out of that prison, to bring them up to heaven. So, you know, those little things kind of trip me up once in a while, because I see that, and then I see Job. And Job starts out where God's, the sons of God are presenting themselves to God. I'm thinking, well, who are these sons of God then? I'm assuming, I thought sons of God would be men. Unless, of course, he's talking about angels there in Job, but I would have thought they would have been men, sons of God. But I was just kind of wondering, who are these sons of God that presented themselves when Job was still around before Jesus hit the scene? That's my question, if anybody has an idea. No, I don't know.
That's a good question. We'll throw it out there. Malcolm's got the answer. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Indeed, I don't. I maybe I've just told my question for Pat until David has his question answered, and I can come back like a bad penny.
No, go ahead and answer or talk about Pat's question. He's kind of brought that out, but that was my question.
Well, I was going to ask him. Well, first of all, I was going to ask you also.
I'm probably not going to talk about Pat's stuff because I'm going to bring that up when I'm in my teaching a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, I was what I was going to ask you is where would you put Enoch regarding the Sheol thing, and then also was it Elijah or Elisha, the first prophet that got in the chariot, and we have songs about that experience.
Right, Elisha went up too, didn't he? You know, yeah.
Do you think he went to Sheol, or where do you think is like an interim, like a little purgatory there, or what do you think?
This stuff's confusing, isn't it?
No, Elisha rocked around in that chariot.
Well, yeah. Oh, the other thing is, from whence came Moses and was it Elisha that showed up to Jesus there? Did they come out of Sheol, or were they kind of?
Sure, why not? I mean, Samuel, he came up probably out of Sheol when he talked to Saul, right? When they saw a soothsayer or that woman, and she was had a familiar spirit. She was trying to summon Samuel, and everybody says, "Well, was it Samuel or not?" I think it really was. Samuel came up from the dead and talked to Saul. You know, the king saw at the time and told him he was going to come and be in Sheol there with him there that day. He was going to die. And, you know, asked him why he, you know, was bothering him because he was in a restful state. So, yeah, I think that Sheol is definitely the answer for where the saints were at.
Okay, then my question for Pat is, Pat, do you think you've, that experience that you're talking about where Jesus has gone away and then coming back, do you think you've already been through something like that, or maybe a subset of that, or, you know, kind of a small version of it, or do you think that's future to your life?
Can you elaborate on that? I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, my question was, you were talking about Jesus leaving and to prepare a place and then coming back. Were you referring to like an experience of perhaps spiritual kind of a sense of the absence of God's presence? And if so, were you temporarily? And if so, was that in the past, or do you think in the future for you personally?
I think the way I was applying it or understanding it for myself is that Jesus, God dwells in a temple that is not made with hands. It's not a physical walls and structure. It's a heart of, he dwells in, like spirits dwell on thoughts, in their place of dwelling or resting are on thoughts, or let's just say thoughts and leave it with that. They're spirits. They don't take residence or take a position or a place of resting on physical things. It's on thoughts or unseen places. Well, God is a spirit. He's in the same way. He takes rest in not only thoughts, but in our beliefs, in our trusts, in our confidence. All of these are things, our faith, all of those are things that are not seen. They're not physical. They're spirit. And that's where God rests and resides, in the spirit. So when the Lord leaves, or the concept of him leaving is like he left after giving us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, then he left. He left because he left a responsibility with mankind, with men, with the church, to now take that mantle that Jesus wore, that functioned in, and now learn to function. It's now our responsibility. We have to do the work. We have to receive from God and do the work. If Jesus were still here, calling all the shots, shall we say, and telling people, do this, go here, it in a sense leaves no responsibility for me. I just follow orders and keep on going. Now, we know we do that in the spirit, but if Jesus was here in physical, right here in this room, you can be guaranteed I probably wouldn't be talking. I'd be listening to him, and I'd be doing what he wants and this and that sort of thing. Again, not that I don't do that and desire that, to do that as well all the time, but now I don't have that physical proof right there facing me as a confidence. I have to do this by faith. I have to function. I have to take the responsibility. I have to walk by faith. That process of sanctification, discipleship, following the Lord, learning to stand on his truth, trusting him by faith, all of that is creating an environment within me for Jesus to reside, for God to reside and be comfortable in residing in that place in the spirit. So when I say that he left to prepare you, he left to prepare me, he left to create it, but by doing so created an environment where that maturing, sanctification, cleaning, cleansing, purification process would take place for a purpose, for the purpose of perfection. And I believe that perfection is what God deems as has been required to make it you and I and all of us a perfect place for him to rest within us and be feel comfortable to put his feet up on the couch and relax and be at home and at peace within us. So I don't know if I overstated that or whatever, but that's what I meant by preparing a place. If what I say, is it something that I have experienced? No. I know it is there for us to experience. When Jesus said in Hebrews, God said in Hebrews 10, I think, that it has to do with he has perfected all them that are sanctified. He has perfected all them that are sanctified in one act, one act upon the cross. So I know he created that perfection and that perfect place to be within us. And it's through this sanctification process that he's given us, that he's taking us through, And he's doing it in order to bring us into that place. And I believe that place is for us here now on this planet, on this place, for his purpose to make this happen. It's not something that's going to happen in the millennium or something that's going to happen way up there in heaven when we all die. I think it's something that he takes us through to bring us into this place right here, right now. So I don't know if did I answer your question or muddy the water?
No, I appreciate. I was just kind of clarified. I just wanted to understand what your thinking was there. That, and you really clarified it. I was just thinking of 2 Corinthians 5:16, where Paul's talked to the Church of Corinth there, and he said, "Wherefore henceforth," I'm reading King James. I guess I shouldn't apologize, right? Wherefore, I could skip to another version. No, I'm okay. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. I think that you're kind of talking to that. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And, you know, because Paul himself didn't know Christ after the flesh, although I when he appeared to him, I'm kind of wondering that may have been a pretty serious manifestation that Paul experienced himself. I'm just basing that on some of his later comments. But and then it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But again, he's talking about, you know, Jesus was here in the flesh at one point, but now he isn't here that way. He's here in the spirit. So, you know, like you say, if Jesus were here, we'd all be listening to him. But that's kind of very limiting when you consider that he gave the same spirit is now available to all those who believe, and which is really awesome, because now you have a huge body that is in the spirit, and they're performing different functions, and then you have and all that works together to form a complete picture and a complete functionality, you know. Well, yeah, thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. It's pretty cool to hear all this discussion.
That was well said, Malcolm. It kind of reminded what I said before, the Lord just showed me about the image. He created man in his image, and just how beneficial and essential everything after that up to this point is for bringing the whole Christian or the whole God's perspective into the awareness of in mankind now. So it was kind of, you know, that was good. Thank you.
You know, speaking of the image, I was supporting some family friends whose mother just passed away. By the way, we were all praying for this lady, Beverly, and she passed away a week ago Wednesday. So I appreciate all of you that have been praying for her and everything. I think it was it was just interesting. It created a bit of a crisis for the family because they were divided over the whole how to respond to COVID and what happened. Speaking of the image of God, the family required me to wear a mask to be there with them, which has never happened before. So that was a little bit of, it kind of helped me see my reaction, because my reaction was quite interesting. And so I do a little bit of repenting there. But one of my comments to the young lady who was requiring that of everybody was, I said, you're defacing the image of God. And I thought about that, you know, defacing, you're taking away the face of image of God by covering it up like that. Anyway.
All right. But go ahead,
like I thought, I would be willing to wear my underpants over my head if that's what they required to be with them at that time. So,
well, go ahead. I'd like to see that. Maybe the women are saying no, 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 no. All right, Isaac.
Okay. Sorry, Hank. Apologize. I'm just trying to get squared away right now. I'm pulling in. We're driving. No, Pat brought up something that last night we were driving and everybody's asleep. I was listening to David Eel's, one of his teachings, and I was just kind of praying. And, I was looking at all the mountains, really cool. And from what I could see of them anyways, and the Holy Spirit kind of came upon me, and I just kind of, like a poem came out, which I'm not going to go into or say, but it was really, really awesome. It was about the beholding in the mirror. And so when I got to the hotel last night, I, by faith at random, not even meaning to, I pulled up John chapter 14, and that's exactly what Pat's talking about. And I read it last night, and I want to read this, but I'm going to read it in a way, really think about this real quick. I'm just going to read this one part, and then I'm going to let y'all do y'all's thing. So it goes here. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, the word mansions in Greek is abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am. But think about that. Think about the way that reads. And I feel like the Lord really gave me this revelation. So I'll read that verse again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Because multiple times through the scriptures, he says, I am. Now they've added he, I am he. But he says, I am, because in John 17, which is only a few chapters away, he goes to say, he was praying to God about the apostles, saying, let them be as one as we are one, right? Because the kingdom of God is within us. And it's through Jesus Christ, right? And if you go through something, you have to go into it, right? And so to say that again, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, you know the way. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How know we the way? And check this out. I feel like Jesus confirms it. Jesus saith to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one cometh to the Father but by me. And we know that he who descended out of heaven is the same that ascended back into heaven. So it's Christ in us, right? So, we behold in the mirror his image. And the Lord just kind of, because I asked him for my daily bread when I was reading this, because I really need it or I won't understand. It's just how it is. And he says that where I am, saying I am, there ye may be also. So here on this earth, that's all. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. All right, go ahead, Andrew.
If God lives in us, then all these verses that was discussed today are all the things we walk in. For living is the word of God and active. Is there anything impossible for God to actually put the proper thoughts in your head, which we so much want because we don't like the other thoughts that come in our heads? If God can put an Elijah spirit in another man, why can't he put it in another person even today? If he can do it with a Moses spirit or a Peter, James, and John spirit at Mount Transfiguration, God is sovereign. You know this. If there's a parable in us from his word, it's got to be active and activated. Is it beyond God to raise people, the Old Testament saints, when Jesus died on the cross and people saw them there? Could he not do that again? Could he not take the very thoughts and attitudes of one of his Old Testament saints, as he does with Elijah, and we'll do it again? Can he not do that with Samuel? you know, we were taught that we emulate even the seven churches by spirit. So all those items that are in there, we have to overcome some things. And I think they're in a perfect place there, right at the beginning of Revelation. So we must prepare ourselves to go into these 7 years. And, you know, what are all these things that God can do in us? He's our Father. I forget the verse on how he uses all the vessels of honor and dishonor. Or the verse there where he has everything in his hands, you know. He's and all things are of God who hath reconciled us. Why would he give us this reconciliation unless we can believe it and love it? You know, aren't we supposed to walk in the Spirit? Aren't we supposed to walk in the love? Oh, we don't. Everyone wants to avoid long suffering, but he tells you to rejoice in tribulation. So, you know, let him hint at it for you, how you're supposed to rejoice in tribulation to get patience, approvedness, hope, and the love at the very end. It almost sounds like when it goes from faith to virtue to knowledge, and you got love at the very end. So, you know, all these items that God is in control of in his word, the thoughts there being very pertinent to love the Lord your God in all your mind, your conscience, your heart, your heart's in your mind. It's in your brain. It's in your conscience. What did Moses know? What did Abraham know about the law? He didn't know anything. And yet his consciousness was clear when it came to God. Who put them in his mind? Who was giving him grace? You know, that in the ages to come, he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. It's a verse, yes, and this is what we walk in. And this is what we love. This is our thought, our mainstream thought throughout the day. And I wish it could be always there, you know, in the Lord's mind, in the Lord's heart, in the Lord. To cleanse this soul, to have the strength of the Lord by his glory, by his spirit. The seven lights that are in you are the glory of God. You know, that's Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. But over there in Revelation, you have seven spirits. And we know that the word emulates through the spirit. It says the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So you want this spirit. You want this glory, you know. What did the apostle John say? No greater grace do I have than to see my children walking in truth. Well, then again, truth. What is truth? Pontius Pilate didn't know, but we know. We know that we have this word, and it does come to us in two fashions. The first fashion of this word in discipleship is something that's in your mind. And then it's something that's your action. And the Lord gives it because he promised us and gave us a promise of love that he was going to perform this through the Messiah for the past 2,000 years. And it hasn't changed that Christ in you, the hope of glory, has to come to pass. So I'm not saying I've arrived at any of this, or whatever the Lord has prepared for me is, it's already done. It's written. It's written, but it has to be alive in us. In him we live, move, and have our being. That's Greek poetry, but now it's in the Bible. So it's more important now. Because it's got uplifted to a different level. It went from a Greek poetry to the Almighty God's word. And we would quote it and say it. It's just a full trust in believing. You know, as for a child, you know, what do we know? You know, you take 2 5-year-olds and put them in the room, they'll be best friends in a minute and a half. You take 2 50-year-olds and put them in a room, they'll probably avoid each other, just like they do at office gatherings and stuff. So I think you can learn a lot from children. You know, it's just easier on them. No inhibitions, innocence. You're innocent in Christ. You know, you're not guilty unless you want to go there, and nobody wants guilt. we've battled guilt. We've prayed against this guilt. We've prayed against slander. Oh, there was lots of slander. You know, slander was there big time when Trump was around, and it started with Obama. And I wondered why. You know, I'd ask questions at my workplace when I was there. Why do you slander a president that's not even our president? We have a prime minister over here, and they couldn't give a good answer. So, and of course, we have the fear now, the fear of the people. The fear of people are in great fear. It's a spirit of fear, and fear is the opposite of faith. And people want liberty, and there's a spirit to liberty. And we know this liberty and freedom in a different way from what the way the people want it. And that truth is mingled with that freedom too. And that's, you know, just some of the things that I wrote down here that we're discussing. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know. You know, it wasn't that long ago that he taught us that sin was threefold: thoughts, emotions, and actions. So those thoughts, you know, love the Lord your God with all your mind. And your heart's not too far from your mind, because it's an open corridor for all four: heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's like a hallway with these different rooms in it. But there's no doors on there. That's the way I envisioned it. And if you go into your heart, you go into your heart, you go into your strength, you got to go into your strength. You know, you had to get into your strength for the past 2 years about what's going on right now in the world. And I don't know how it's done. I just know we go in there. I believe God leads us in there and puts us in there and says, here you go. You're in my strength now. You're my son because of what Jesus did for us at the cross and resurrection. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Rihanna or Claire.
Yeah, just thank you guys, all of this. This is wonderful to listen to. When Joe put that speaking there that David spoke about, the sons of God is always kind of searching the Lord's face, right? And we're making our request known to him. We just had this kind of thought, and we're talking to Claire about it, saying that if that was always the case, His face was turned away from us before we came to Christ. Like it's like he can't look at you. He can't look at the sinful flesh. And just imagine what agony that must have been for us if you're searching God and you're right there in his presence, but his face is turned away from you. But then when we got born again and we received the Spirit of Christ, then his face turns towards you and then looks straight at you because he sees Christ in you. He can now finally look at you. And that's what I imagine must be like in heaven. It's like you're just so grateful and so honored that the Lord would even turn his face towards you and look at you and see Christ in you as well. And that's why Jesus said he has to leave, he has to go won't be able to handle that, but Christ can, and that's what he's looking for. How wonderful that we are able to be in his presence now. The enemy keeps on trying to come and accuse us and trying to bring that flesh in front of him, but we just don't accept it, and we keep saying we have Christ in us, and we can behold the Lord, God's face, because Christ is the one interceding for us. I just thought that's such a, yeah, it was such a wonderful image. And how wretched we were before, like what a pitiful state we were in, how lost and desperate to be separated from God in that way. But how wonderful that that order has been restored, but it's only through Christ, it's only through his blood. It's such a weird concept to think that God's son had to be, his blood had to be spilled, but that is, it was washed. Like that's the only way. There's no other way. Nothing else would make his face turn toward you.
Rion, your microphone is muffled or something, but we can hear, understand most of it.
Oh, that's all right. I was just mumbling. Right.
A good comeback.
You know, I've got something. You know, years ago, in my early 20s, I got a book from Madame Guyon. You know, then listening to David, when I started listening to him 10 years ago, and then the Lord started taking me out of the hyper faith, not that we don't use faith, but there's a faith too, you know, that so many were taught to use when they were still in the flesh, but they knew nothing about dying to self. David gets into when we were born again or born from above, our spirits were being made alive again. That seed that is in us, Christ, which cannot sin, according to the word of the Lord, then our souls are being saved. Now, when I was talking about the innocence of a child, as I grew, my soul became corrupt. It became wounded. You know, I developed strong in sin. I wasn't raised in a family of God. I didn't come from that background. My background, I came raised in Chicago, you know, on the streets. I remember at 7 and 10, always getting into trouble. That's why I was reminded by the Lord of that time when I was young. You know, I think, man, it might have been 4 or 5, 3, you know, remember that time. Now, through the process of our souls being saved, the Lord is purifying our souls now, cleansing it. Why? Because he lives in us, in whom we are the temple. So that as he purifies our souls, he draws us deeper into Christ. Now, this brother that was sharing, Gene Edwards, I don't know if anybody ever heard of him. See, now we had the scriptures, which were the Old Testament, but we didn't have no New Testament. And I'll never forget it. He said they were around the fire eating fish and all this stuff, and the Lord had left, and they were saddened. And they looked at each other's eyes, and they see the gleam. And then they begin to beam with light, because they now realize that Christ was not with them anymore, but now he was in them. Hallelujah. So with that, as I begin to come to my Christian walk, you know, the fiery trials, boy, I'll tell you what, David, they weren't easy. But what I'm starting to see now, more 57, is that as our souls get purified, we should have, and the word of the Lord is the knowledge of God through salvation. But to come to know Christ in us, in the revelation of him in us, that now we walk, he walks in us and us in him. So now, as disciples, it is stronger because he's in us. That we would come to know the living Christ. And so now, the more I walk through it, what I was sharing is, you know, trying to convey is that he wants to purify our souls from all that corruption, all that hurt, all that pain, all the fears that are blocking us from living inside. Because I used to do it a lot of living where I was grabbing everything out here to try to fix what was in here, inside. And I couldn't do it because nothing out here can put my heart to. Yeah, it don't work like that. It's got to be, it's an inside job. So as he clears these things away, and he says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Yeah. The ones that are hurt and wounded. So that we come to know the living Christ. And as we come to know the living Christ through the purification, through experiencing the word and believing it, and experiencing it through faith and experience, that we have the living Christ in us. Is beyond what the human mind can comprehend. That's why it has to be revealed. And that's why the Lord said, Father, thank you for hiding your word for them that think you're so wise and revealing unto babes. There's that word babes again, but and revealing it unto babes. Anyway. Hallelujah, Brother Michael.
All right. Thank you, William. That was good. Let's pray for David. David Timichuk. Father, we lift up David to you. He's not under the curse. Devil, I don't know why you try these things, but you got to go in Jesus' name. We command that pain out of his teeth. We command it by the power and the blood of Jesus. You go and leave him and don't come back in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you that there's no abscesses or anything like that in his teeth. They have to go. And we praise you, Father, that he is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus moves you out of his jaws and his mouth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Well, that's another night we've got in. Malcolm, you're up next week, and then Williams after that, week after that. So it looks like we've got a pretty good program keeps coming on.
got an all-star lineup.
Got Brother an all-star Mike. Lineup. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Geneva, go ahead.
Hey, Michael, can I get prayer real quick just in case I do have this baby before, you know, Tuesday? Because you said the prayer. Yeah, so I would appreciate it.
All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that this baby comes Monday, and it's not only going to come, it's going to come quickly, it's going to slide right out, it's going to be a good birthing, and we praise you, Father, no pain on Geneva or anybody else in Jesus' name, that baby is just going to be fine, mama's going to be fine, And Morgan's going to be happy in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, this is a boy, Geneva?
It's a little girl.
A little girl. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I had three of them, so I know that little girls are precious.
Thank you all.
All right. Good night, y'all. God bless you.